Hey, welcome to the Pivot Ship to Head Mastermind. It is two mastermind calls in one. We do it every single weekday, and I'm glad that you're here. We're going to talk about in a little bit. We're going to wrap up this whole series we've done all week on, is your database in flow with you? Really, it was how certain are you that your database knows you're still in the business? And we're going to do the last part of that today about how you stay in flow with them. We'll do that at the top of the hour in about 20 minutes. But every Friday, we play America's favorite game show. It's called Next Question. Now, here's how it works. I say next question, and you get to ask some sort of business building or development or growth related question. And then we take the top three answers off of the board. So here's what's really important is you gotta count. You just bottom line is we've all got to be able to count to three in whatever language is right for you. And we've had one consecutive Friday now or two consecutive Fridays, y'all. I don't know the answer. It's two consecutive Fridays. Barb Whitney is saying it's two consecutive Fridays, which is a streak. Don't call it a comeback. All right, so we are going to see if we can make it three consecutive Fridays where we have played the game correctly. And if we can make it to three consecutive Fridays, that may be a record. It just may be a record. Let's see if we can get it done. Leonore, next question. Good morning.
Good morning. So my question is, how do you handle in a consultation, either listing or buyer, the know-it-all, the one who's just got all the answers and no matter what you say, they're right and you're maybe not?
Oh, let's help her out. She's got to know it all on an appointment. Every time she gives an answer, he knows it all. It's got to be a he. I'm just telling you right now, it's got to be a he.
It is.
Ira, is it a he, by the way, Leonor? Is it a he?
It is. It
Yeah,
is.
of course it is. Of course it is. Guys, dial it back. Ira, what's the answer?
I just basically say, wow, you seem to really know what you're doing. Let me ask you a quick question. If you had a toothache, would you take the tooth out yourself or would you go to a dentist?
Oh, look at that.
I'm the realtor. Please trust me.
Trust me. Tanya Bird, what do you do when you deal with these dudes?
Well, sometimes they're ladies. I've had ladies be like this, and I'll be like, oh, as you know, and then I'll be like, blah, 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 blah. So I'm setting it up to say, I already know that you know, even though I don't really think they know. But it's a nice way to say, as you know, and then follow it up with what you got to say.
Okay, that's a good answer. Joanne?
I would just acknowledge and say, you're right, and then pause and let them sit in it for a minute. And even if they're not, acknowledge that they are. And follow it up with an and, of course, not a but an and go from there and go with your normal script, but give them a minute to feel like they're right in some way, shape, or form.
That's good. They're good answers. I don't answer the questions, but if I did, here's what I would say. Well, why am I here? Why am I here? If you understand how to do all this, tell me, why is it you brought me here? And what can I do to help and support you? Then I'd get thrown out and I'd call the person a jerk because I drove home. That's what would happen right there. Alicia, next question.
Okay, my next question is, what's your pre-call ritual? Now, I'm not talking about like writing down the names of the people you're going to call the night before. I'm talking about like to get yourself pepped up, popped up, hyped up, whatever it is.
What is your pre-call ritual? So you're getting ready to sit down, do your lead gen, and you want to get,
In the
you're
frame of
ready for
mind.
some LFG. Like you are just ready to get moving.
Yeah.
Jolie.
Stand up, walk around, jump up and down, whatever you have to do to get the like that nervous energy out or whatever the thing is. Go outside, just kind of shake it off, and then 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, dial.
Bree Vaughn Pittman Vaughn the third. Good morning.
Good morning. So energy, first get in a room where there's energy happening and it's not just you, so you can get that synergy, if you will, from other people. So like on Power Hour for 5 years straight, we would always like start with the wave or just something that's in movement and getting us like hyped up so that when we get into action, we're already motivated and energetic. So get in a room where the energy's happening.
Rico.
I just three simple things. I prepare the night before so I know what I'm doing. I do something fun once Lee's generation is done. And then, like Bree said, I do be around the right community and that gives me the energy.
Alicia, where do you live?
I'm in Melbourne.
You're in Melbourne, so you're here in the Eastern time zone.
Yes.
See, let me teach you a little pro tip real quick. The reason the pivot call is at the time it is the pivot call is because it's on the East Coast. You hang up from the call and do the next right thing. What's the next right thing is to get into your lead gen. So if you utilize the pivot call as my mode, I don't answer the questions, by the way. I don't answer the questions. But if I do answer the questions, I tell you, make the pivot call part of the plan and then immediately transition into the next right thing, whatever that is. That's the answer right there. Bree, you really do the wave.
Yeah.
Bree, I am anti-wave. I think the wave should be against the law.
Oh, all right.
When we are at a sporting event and they do the wave, my daughter will tell you, I refuse. Absolutely refuse. I'll be the one person in the section who refuses to get up.
Defiant. Got it.
I learned it from my dad. Let me tell you about something real quick. When my dad was here, we live in Tampa Bay. You know that. Well, we don't live in Tampa Bay. That would be wet. But we live in the Tampa Bay area. And my dad was visiting one time and the Lightning were playing in the Stanley Cup Final. And I said, Dad, let's go to the Stanley Cup Final together. My dad loves hockey, but lives in Indianapolis. So we don't really have hockey there. So you go to the Stanley Cup Final, Bree. Listen, you know how you go to the sporting events and they do, everybody clap your hands. And then, you know what I'm talking about? They play that, everybody's clapping at the Stanley Cup Final. And my dad turns over and looks at me and said, they can't make me clap my hands. So I think I got it from him. Don't do the wave, y'all. Whatever makes you happy, do that. Let's go on. Let's get back to it. Shannon Dixon, next question.
Good morning. This kind of ties to number one a little bit. Handling the client that is never, ever, ever happy, always finds something to complain about. I could give her $2 million and she's unhappy. It's not $3
million. And she's got to pay taxes on it.
Oh, exactly. And just sort of seems to live in her own universe. I don't, her own reality, makes up things that are not truthful. Just one of those people.
How do you help the grump? There are some grumps out there. I mean, it's a true story. In fact, there are grumps on this call. Some of you will. Woof. Orly, how do we handle the grumps?
Oh, this is a perfect example of let them. Let them be a grump. You don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know their personality. Let them. It doesn't affect you. I have an invisible shield that doesn't allow me to let it affect me. I walk them through the transaction as best I can. And then if they're really pains, I buy myself a little gift at the closing to make up for the pain and suffering. So
love that.
A gift for pain and suffering. Orly's doing, by the way, a whole thing on let them. For Inspire members on Tuesday, which is going to be great. You did this for Star Power, and you're going to come do it here for us inside the Inspire Collective. And sometimes we get a little wound up, Orly, don't we, about what's going on? And so,
absolutely. These are just distractions. So you have to stay on course, stay focused, let them.
Yeah, I think Tuesday's Inspire session is going to be great. So if you're not an Inspire Collective member, you're missing out on great stuff like that. That's our membership community. You can get info at jamesdshaw.com. Okay, back to the grumps, Erica.
I'm so glad I'm in the grump.
The opposite of a grump, Erica, is the opposite of a grump.
I can definitely be a grump, just so you know. And the first thing I would consider asking is like, you know, hey, just out of curiosity, if we could wave a magic wand and everything from this point forward could go exactly the way you want, what would that look like? Mm. And then, you know, help me understand more about that. And then, you know, and then they're going to say something that perhaps is not possible, right? Because they're expecting the moon or whatever it is, and say, okay. And, you know, when was the last time that you actually sold a home? Because they might be asking for something that completely, and how certain are you that this is the best plan of action for you to get your home sold? And, you know, most people think that X, but if you really want your home sold, then why? But I would first have them paint a picture, because maybe as they're speaking, they're going to realize that actually makes no sense.
Mm. Yeah. Donna Gilbert, how do we work with the grumps?
So I agree with Orly and also with Erica. So you just let them, you don't worry about it. I put it in the chat, you just ignore the grumpiness of the grump. Here's the thing, they show up like that throughout their entire life. This is not special. Yeah. This is not special for you. And if they're in a couple situation, the other person will be so happy that you kind of ignore their grumpiness, because that's what he or she has been doing. And when they say crazy things, you actually do chuckle a little bit. To Erica's point, they realize it's the crazy things that they're saying. But, you know, if they're still talking in their grumpiness, but they're still talking, they actually like you.
I think grumps do actually like you, but part of their brand is to be a grump. Is that true? I think so. Here's my thought. I don't answer the questions, but if I did, what I would tell you is kick them. I would just kick them. I think that the assault is usually the way to go with a grump. And so I would just kick them. Let me just real quick, as a sidebar, since this is being recorded, I'm not actually advocating assault and battery on a client, and I don't want some attorney to sue me because someone kicked their client and said, I learned it from James Shaw. I'm just telling you right now, it's a joke, y'all. Do not try this at home, someone put in the chat. Dan Tamarkin, next question.
Oh my gosh, James, you're so funny.
Oh,
Yes, that
thanks.
was a joke for anyone
It
that hasn't
was,
gotten
yes.
it.
Hilarious one, too.
All right, so I'm not joking on this one. I'm assuming most people don't want to be calling FSBOs and expireds and knocking on doors at 90. So I need to know who has a great relationship. Thanks. I see Pat Moyer raising her hand, yeah, saying she's not her. Who has a great relationship with their tax accountant or and financial advisor that could share with us what a great relationship looks like? Feels like. How often do you meet with them? What does that include? Who has a great relationship with their financial advisor and accountant?
All right, so you want a good, why? So you're not selling houses till you're 90, Daniel?
I'd like the option. I would like, you
Yeah.
know, if I choose to, great, but I don't want to have to.
So let's talk about how we have that kind of relationship to give you great advice to set you up in your business, Cindy.
I feel like I have a really good relationship with my financial advisor. I've known him for a very long time, and the thing that sets him apart from really any other advisors that I've talked with is that he actually cares about me as a person. When everything was going on with my mom this summer with cancer, he was checking on me. When we sit down and talk, he asks about my mental health, he asks about my family. He's not just like driving the numbers home, and that's really, really important to me. In anybody who's going to be a mentor for me, a coach, like I want them to know about me and my situation first versus focusing on the numbers. And then as far as the accountant, I actually just switched and got a new accountant this year. They're more of an advisor with my financial advisor and the accountant. We'd meet quarterly. My previous accountant did not believe in cost segregation, and I was just able to save almost $200,000 by switching to a new accountant and having them go through everything. So the relationship is really important to me.
Cindy, you know what it sounds like to me? You know what your financial advisor person sounds like to me?
What's that?
What we should be to our people.
Absolutely.
I
100%.
mean, your financial advisor is just modeling for you what your business should look like, which it does, by the way, which is why you sell at the level that you sell. Thank you, Cindy. Josie, you're next.
Good morning. I mean, a lot of what Cindy said is the relationship. You know, we have a financial advisor and a CPA. Val and I have the same person. I met them through her. She does dinners with the financial advisor. You know, we've gone to like haunted houses together. And then with the CPA, like we're friends on social media. He's a great accountant, but he personally loves, he's like a pro amateur baseball player. So we engage like that a lot. Like he's reached out to me to help him build out sort of a CPA course. So it's just getting to know each other on a personal level outside of just the business. I mean, we meet for business when we need to. I know I can email him anytime or both of them if we have questions. But it's that personal connection. And then on a business level, like for the CPA at the end of tax season, like we've sent the whole office like brownies or, you know, something like you made it, you know, because it's super stressful for them, especially like during tax season. So little things like that that really just set you apart from just being another client to really being more of like a friend or just, you know, more personal.
Good answer, Kathleen Garden. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. One of the biggest values I find with my financial planner, especially, is the trust that's built. Now, yes, I do know him. However, when I actually go in for my checkup, he calls it a checkup. You know, we do a phone checkup and then I go in person. He spends the first 5 or 10 minutes just catching up on, hey, how's the kids? What's going on? It is the care call times five. And it really is authentic. He cares. And then we get into the business side of it. And then the other thing he always said to me, which I use whenever I talk to my clients, you do want me to tell you the truth, right? You want me to tell you what's going to be the best for you so you can retire and blah, blah, blah. And I trust him impeccably. And that has been built over the years. It's confidentiality. And he's been harsh on me. He said, hey, listen, you're behind the gun. This is what I suggest you to do. He calls me 3 times a year, which he's the only vendor. None of my vendors, my insurance company, nobody. And it just shows how our calls make a difference. And I'm not 100% good at it. I'm getting better. He also, it's not only the birthday card. He sends me 2 handwritten cards a year. It's something about that handwriting, not the automated, but something taking the effort. Now, maybe it's his assistant that does it. And I also get calls from his assistant. So it's like you become part of the family.
That's good. It's really good. I don't answer the questions. But if I did, Dan, I'd say I'd want some people in that space that also understand MREA. That I want them to understand what we teach in that, because it is a little bit different. Accountants sometimes will struggle with it, which I think is something that Cindy touched base, mentioned earlier. I want some people that are going to at least understand MREA. Next question, Brent and Alice.
Okay, this goes back to part two of the question I asked last week about a seller that will increase, right before we list, they increase their price. Well, we always have the early cancellation, and we've never had to use it except for the very last transaction canceled because he wasn't getting his price, but he never listened to us anyway.
Yeah.
We did not get 2 listings in our neighborhood because we did not agree with the price that they wanted. So they've been sitting on the market with another agent for 40 days, 70 days. So now I'm afraid to take a listing because you invest all this time and money and the sellers are still in the 20 to 23 range where things were selling. And, and I know that. And we're smart, but I just can't get over this. And I'm just wondering about this cancellation clause. I'm starting to not want to use it at all.
Dean Moss.
Hey, great question, guys. Very, very cool. What I want to say is you have to continue doing what you always do with each client. I feel that same way, too. I think everybody on this call feels this way every once in a while. Why, what am I doing here? I'm hitting my head against the wall. But indeed, we have the special skills, interpersonal skills, to deal with our clients on a day-to-day basis. We got to take that stuff in stride. Don't give up. And more importantly, don't let off the gas. You have to stay stable and you have to stay consistent. So thanks for letting me share that with you guys.
Paul Corey, good morning.
Good morning. If they want to raise the price from the price that you set, I'd call them up and say, hey, look, I'm available this afternoon about 2 o'clock. So I'd love to come over and see what you did to the house to justify the increase in price.
Linda Brennan.
So going forward, I revamped my listing presentation to match the market. And I based it on Maria Sims' plan of, I'm going to know, they know before they sign the listing agreement that at 3 weeks, I'm going to ask for a price reduction. That, that's part of my marketing plan. I'm promising them all the marketing that I show them, but they're also promising that they're going to do some of the things that are on there, which is adjust the price as needed.
This is a great question. I've got a lot of thoughts, Alice. One thought is you could keep your cancellation clause and you could choose to charge a fee, right? You can determine what your fees are and that can be up to you. And you may choose to add a fee moving forward if you want to cancel. That's up to you. Number two is that's just part of the risk of the business. And you're actually getting out early by having an unsaleable listing and not investing even more money into it. Would be another one. So, or take it, roll with it, take it at a higher price, build in the price reductions and see what happens. The pricing is still, I think, one of the larger challenges that agents are having. And I think that there is some denial about that in the industry that many of you, because we get questions posted all the time in Pivot about what are some out-of-the-box ideas to get my home under contract? And I go, there is no out-of-the-box idea. There's an in-the-box idea called price it appropriately. That's it. Price it appropriately. Market it in the right way. Have it staged nicely. Do all those things. But the bottom line, there is no out-of-the-box idea. It's price it right. If they're not willing to do that, you don't have listings anyway. Right? Even if you're signed to the yard and you have a listing, you don't actually have a listing because it's not saleable. So who cares? Brent and Alice, I like you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're nice people. Yeah. But they, you know, they live in the town that I was born in. Is the plaque up there yet, though? I keep asking. Have they put...
I just was at a city council meeting, and I hear that they've got it set
Did you
up.
Bring it up at the city council
meeting? Yeah, I brought it up, and they misspelled the name, and so they had to reorder
well,
it.
Well, to be fair, I had a different last name when I was born there, so that is a true story.
McGillicuddy is a little hard to, you know, write.
Funny. Next question, Ian.
Hey, what's up, man? So is it appropriate if you have a referral and there's a person putting you in touch with the agent in that area and they add, say, a 5% fee? So instead of 25, it now goes to 30.
Is well, you know, and here's the deal. Of course, your referral fee is going to be negotiable and you can figure that out. He's using these as examples.
Of course.
This is just an example. But that, let's say you found someone who's found someone and the person who found the someone for you is saying, give me a cut.
Yeah, they want
give me a cut. I need some cash money records because I knew this person. Give me some cash money records. Orly says no. Brianne says no. What does Julie Hess say?
Had that recently, and you know what? I said yes because I was able to go further and see what my gain's going to be, how I'm going to market this, and how many other people are going to see that I have this amazing farm that I'm selling. So I gained. My gain is somewhere else. So.
Julie says she did it. The majority of the people in the chat are saying no. It sounds like a business decision, Ian. Barb?
Yeah, I agree. It is a business decision. But if somebody calls me, I'm the giver. So it's like, sure, I can't help that client, but I'll refer you to somebody who can, and then I connect them.
There you go.
Something that was really close by, then might be a little different. But yeah, no, I've got no problem.
All right, there's your answers, Ian. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have now made it three consecutive Fridays. I just want to document it for the record right now for all to see that we have made it three consecutive Fridays of playing Next Question correctly. The question is, can we make it four? All right, we have to get to four consecutive Fridays next week. Hey, everybody, what's going on? It is 8 o'clock Eastern. It's your friend James Shaw. Thank you so much for joining us inside of Pivot Shift Ahead this morning. We are going to have a great day. We are going to have so much fun today as we wrap up this series that we have done on really connecting with your database and making sure that you're in a flow with them and that you are earning all your opportunity. Because I asked the question last week about how certain are you that your database still knows you're in the business. And we got answers all over the board. And then I said, go do your research. Go do an audit in your database and figure out, are you in a flow with your people or not? And we had some pretty interesting ahas on that. So today we'll wrap it up where we talk about, you know, what is the way that you stay in communication and stay in flow. But we always want to start with something good. Although we have no hands up. There we go. Dawn Tinder, something good. Good morning.
Hey, James. Good morning. So I heard that you're going to be in Boise, Idaho at the end of September.
I am.
I am going to be there as well. And the reason why is my daughter has been fostering a baby since he was 3 days old, and they have an adoption on September 24th. So I won't be right in Boise. I'll be just a little south of that, but we're going up there for the adoption.
That is great news. Congratulations to Thank your family you. On that. I love that for them. And then, yes, if you are in Boise, I'll be there, I think, on the 25th of September to do a full day Rise session. So I'd love to see you all there. And Dawn, I'll wave to you in the sky as we're both on our way to Boise, Idaho. Congratulations to your family. Kathleen Garden, good morning.
Good morning, James. And it is a great Friday because it's closing day. And my past three closings have been from either past clients or agent-to-agent referrals. And this one today is really special because I helped him actually by selling his home quickly here and pricing it right from all of our conversations, do an assumable VA mortgage in his new home in Tennessee. And it always makes me feel so honored and blessed to help our veterans. And also, I get to go to Life Surge tomorrow here in Grand Rapids, where Tim Tebow, Ed Milet, and a couple other Christian leaders are going to be speaking. And it's perfect timing. So I'm feeling really, really in a good space and really blessed right now.
All right, Kathleen, congratulations on all that. Latoya, you get the last one. Good morning to you this morning.
Good morning. So I think you'll be very proud of me. So I've been looking at my numbers and I realized month over month, I am over 56% higher in listings sold, and year over year, I am over 43% higher.
Listen, you're getting after it there in Charlotte. Tell me, what do you attribute this massive growth to in a market that's flat or declining in most places?
Staying in touch with my database, because a lot of my listings are repeat clients, but some Google me. Actually, I think that has a lot to do with it too. A lot of people will Google Black Realtor, and because of my last name, I get a lot of business. And of course, this community.
I love it. That's so funny. You get the double thumbs up on that when they Google Black Realtor. I mean, that works out. LaToya, thank you so much. I'm proud of you. Go get after it.
Yes, so sir. Funny.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's what we've been talking about, is exactly what's working for LaToya is what we have been talking about in here all week, which is making sure that your database, when they think of real estate, they think of you, and that you're getting that repeat and referral business. I mean, I'm just curious, how important is it to you that your database doesn't forget about you? Let me know in the chat, how important is it to you that your database doesn't forget about you? And if 100% of the people in it would say you are their agent, like, what would happen to your business if that were the case? If you looked at your whole database and every single person in there said, that's my agent, I think you would have plenty of opportunity. You'd hit all your goals and you'd help a lot of people buy and sell real estate. So we've got to think about, you know, where is the gap that we have inside of our database that prevents that from happening? And obviously 100% is not a reasonable expectation, but if we shoot for that, if we have our goal is built around how would 100% of the people in my database, or what would need to happen for 100% of the people in my database to say I'm their agent, you might treat it a touch differently. You might think about what kind of events you should host, or what you're going to say when you call and reach out to them, or what other creative touches that you can have consistently inside the database to make sure that you are in a flow. And that's what I want you to be, is in a flow with the database. So today we're going to brainstorm. Today we're going to mastermind. Today we're going to talk about the strategies you're using to make sure that people in your database know you are in the business and you are their person. So I want you to raise your hand and tell me, what do you say when you call? What are you sending? How are you engaging with them? What is it that's unique that they're getting from you that's of value? What's your email routine look like so that you're in their inbox on a regular basis? Are you texting, video texting? I want to know, if I'm in your database, how would I know that you are my agent? Elaine, let's go. It's idea day.
Good morning. I hope you're all having a great day. We came to the realization this week that our database is so big. We're doing the DTD2, but we couldn't hit everyone. And we found 6 families that bought without us that was in my database. So that really hurt our feelings, but it's our own fault. But I wanted to share with everyone, I'm reading Wealthy and Well-Known, and I believe the Jack Smith group and Kristen Junkel's group is reading it also. And I had a free, on the inside cover of the book, you have a free coaching call. And he shared with me, he said, do not focus on all your social media and AI and all this stuff. He went completely opposite of what I thought everyone should do. And he said, I want you to go to your clients and have them tell the story. And then I want you to ask them, make the video, have them share the story, and you will hit their friends and family, because right now your social media is only hitting you. So that was my little tidbit of what their coaching team at AJ Vader had shared with me. So I just wanted to share that with
you. I'm so glad you did. And remember, I said yesterday that your social media stuff is not a touch to, it's not a database touch. It is extra, it's supplemental, it can add some value, it can help you connect with people, but it is not a database touch. And I think it's important that we remember that we've got to do the right touches to the database to stay in relationship. Elaine, thank you. I appreciate that. That was a great share. Maria Sims, I know it's been a big aha week for you. Good morning.
Hey, well, that's okay. I'm about to let my little puppy out at school. So love you, buddy. Have a great day. For me, one of the things I realized is I'm not having enough real estate events that I'm inviting people to. And so I did a little research on what like the guidelines should be to have like the perfect healthy mix of real estate and events and everything I'm trying to accomplish. So I went to my friend ChatGPT and they kind of broke down what percentage of conversation I need to be in flow with for my database. So I wrote out a new 90-day plan, was step number one. And then I created a seller seminar specifically for baby boomers for next week. And we thought, you know what, we only got a week, but we're going to invite everybody. We delivered it to over 25 businesses yesterday. And, you know, we're going to change the way that we host businesses. And then the other thing that I did is, you know, for my DTD2 calls yesterday, I took a little bit, I went back and listened to what Anna said, because she's a genius. And I went and kind of researched who I was talking to or reaching out to yesterday. And I created new scripts. So, you know, I want to be on purpose asking for referrals. And, you know, that's the part that I've been leaving off firstly. So for me, it's still going to be my touch plan, but it's more purposeful once a month with a business event and the way that I'm going to ask for referrals and, you know, friends and family and that sort of thing is going to be a little different.
This has been a big week for you. Maria is in the top 1% of agents on this call, and yet this has been a big week for her where she discovered that she's doing a lot of great things, but there is still a disconnect with some people in her database that she is their agent. Not just their wonderful person who loves everyone in the community and is so nice and will welcome you into her home and do anything for you. She's also a really successful real estate agent, and we've got to make sure that people know that. And Maria, I'm glad you've had this week to help reset that for you. Barb, stand by. I just want to go to Kim Wallace first, and then we'll come back. So Kim Wallace, what's on your mind? Good morning.
Okay, so I am doing two things now. So one, you had said that we need 100 touches, okay? So I've been doing a weekly newsletter since you said that, every single week. Now, some weeks does it go out on Saturday, and some weeks does it go out on Sunday because I don't have the time to do it? Uh-huh, yeah, but guess what? You said done is better than perfect. Yeah. The second thing I did, okay? Hey, Christians, close your ears. I stopped being a punk ass. You know, and I asked for the business. You got to stop being a punk ass in real estate, because what we've been doing is being more passive in real estate. Okay, they know I'm selling. They've seen me. They know I'm out here. No, they don't. They don't. They're not even thinking about you. Okay, so stop being a punk ass. Okay, so be boring. Number one. Number two, stop being a punk ass and go and ask for the business. So in my newsletter now, I say, hey, James, do you know anybody that's looking to buy and sell? Have them call me. Also, look at my newsletter. Then the next thing I'm doing, I'm hosting an event because I'm better in person. Now, I'm great on the phone. You know, I'm great with y'all, you know, right now. You know, y'all like me. But live, in person, I'm like 100 times better. And I know that that's what they want. So they want to see me in person doing the things, but I'm not being a punk ass. I'm asking them, Who you know? Okay, I'm doing a tattoo event November the 1st. Kristen Jungles is coming. She doesn't know that she's coming, but she's coming because she doesn't have any ink. So we're going to have her come down. She's going to be the only white person there, but that's okay. I'm going to make her feel very comfortable. But
I'll come.
She's going to come. Oh, James, you come too. And so now I'm have two white people, a man and a woman there, and we're going to have fried chicken. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask them for the business. Don't be a punk ass, y'all. Ask these people for the business.
Two things in that. First of all, if you get wound up about stuff like that, then move on. This is where we're grown-ups and we can have legit conversations. But here's what I'll tell you. I think 100 touches is a good target, and the easiest way to knock out half of them is a weekly newsletter. It's 52 of the touches right there. Now you're only filling 48 more. You do 4 calls a year. Now we're at 56. You follow up those 4 calls with a text message. Now all of a sudden we're at 60. You do a client event every quarter. We're at 64. You do 5 touches around every client event. We're at 84. Like, it's just, you know, it's just building on top of it and staying in relationship. But then she gave you the other part. At some point you have to ask for business and referrals and opportunities. That's what you got to do. So she gave it to you. So 100 touches a year, 100 touches a year. Kim Wallace, thank you. Kim LaPlante, you're next. Good morning.
Good morning. So first of all, I'm going to stop being a punk ass and make sure that I'm asking.
You're going to put that on a shirt.
Yes. So I have actually started doing something this year that is
not so punk ashes. And that is, and I have gone through and identified my sphere of influence and make sure they're tagged, which is about 350 people, I think. And I have sent them, or in the process, they're all getting a home equity analysis letter. I send that in the mail to them, and then I follow up with a video text where I talk through it with them. And then secondly, I have sent them all a notepad. Some of you got that from me. It says Taco Chance on me. I put two business cards in there and just wrote a note that said, you know, please tuck these in your wallet and your purse. And when you're out and about and, you know, somebody at work or whatever mentions needs, then, you know, hand them my card and tell them to call me. So those are two things that I have up this year.
There you go. That's what we got to do. Barb Whitney, thank you for your patience. You're next.
Oh, well, I'm glad you kind of skipped there because I was laughing so much over Kimberly. Kimberly, I love
so
you.
Good.
I do. Anyways, my coach asked me, well, what were you doing before? Because I had a little bit of a fall off. I've gotten back into the handwritten notes. People like to receive them. And I have it set as a tag. So my DTD2, I've got the calls and the notes. I'm going to be taking a few ideas from everybody today because I got to up my game here. But for me, that is just a nice thing. People love getting mail. They don't get mail anymore.
Right. The handwritten note is so fun. And you guys, this community, Barb, is really good at it. There's a lot of you in here that are really good at the handwritten note. I get them, you get them, a lot. We all get them. And it just, it is. It's fun to get. And it's a really good, easy touch to do after a call. Thanks, Barb. We're wrapping up now. We got a couple of more people that will share about what are we doing to make sure we're in a flow with that database. We're brainstorming and getting ideas. Julie Hess, good morning.
So all of the above, and by the way, I'm putting in, I would like a gray, the punk ass shirt. I'm ordering mine
in
now.
Gray? Okay.
I want gray.
All right.
I want gray for mine.
V-neck or what? Crew?
No. Yeah, V-neck would be great.
Okay. All right. We'll get right on that.
Oh my gosh. I would buy that in a heartbeat. You guys, I'm going to do a different swing because everything you said is awesome. I lost my vision. Not my eyesight, but I did lose my vision in the last couple of years. And some changes have happened in the last 2 weeks. And I called my coach that I had for a while. And all of a sudden, I have a new big why, you know, and my new big why part of it is to get that new home, second home paid off in 5 years. But all of a sudden, I have this new like spring in my step. And, you know, now I'm going through my database because, you know, don't forget, like if you lost your vision or you lost your big why, get another big why. And all of a sudden, like my husband said to me yesterday, wow, you are different in this last week. And I'm like, because I have a big why, I now have a vision. And Kimberly's right. I kind of got into that kind of funky thing of not asking. And I wrote that right on top of my scorecard, ask for the business. So I was out of function the other day and they said, congratulations on the home. I said, thank you. By the way, who do you know that's thinking about buying or selling or would like to invest? Because guess what? My goal is to pay that off in 5 years. So I'm going to keep in touch with you because I have this big why. And I think when you have a big why and a clear vision, it just changes everything.
True. It does. 100%. Erin Nelson. Good morning.
Good morning. I think one of the things that I've kind of taken away is for me personally, mail is working. Like people are not getting, they're getting bombarded by text messages and by emails and all the things. And I know I'm personally get less and less things in the mail. So mailing is working for me. Sorry, I have a screaming toddler. So I'm going to start doing more handwritten notes on top of Elliot, on top of the fun mailers. But the biggest thing is to remember consistency. So I started my fun mailers with a Christmas card in December. And did anyone call me? They called me to thank me for the Christmas card, but not business related, right? So then January, I did the fun sticker mailer. Did I get any business from January mailer? No. March, I was too busy and didn't get a mailer out because my plan is every other month. So then in May was the ranch mailer, ranch packet mailer. And I got business. I got listings. I got, you know, July was the sunscreen mailer and I got appointments and listings and stuff from the sunscreen mailer. And what was funny is I was literally got an appointment from that. And the lady said, we kept your Christmas card on our refrigerator for the longest time. Y'all, I had never even met this woman until I had my listing appointment, but she's was a lead in my database and they had my family on the refrigerator for months. So just remember, it's the consistency. They're not going to call you for the first time or the second time or the third time. It literally took her like 5 or 6 mailers before she called me.
It is the consistency. In fact, whatever you're sending may not be super important. Just being in their inbox, in their mailbox, in their voicemail, just in a flow, in a way that, by the way, is compliant with all the laws and you're following TCPA. And if you're focusing on your database and the people you have relationships with, and you're just, if you think about it, every, you know, handful of days when they turn around, there you are in some way adding value, then when they need you, they're going to reach out, which is what happened to Aaron Nelson. All right, Orly, you get the last word this morning. Good morning.
Well, I had an aha this week because as I was looking into prospecting, my Homebot email popped up. And I have almost 1,000 people on Homebot because everybody gets the QR code so they can get an update of what their home is worth every month with the algorithm. And I, you know, I had about 103 that were highly likely to list. So of course I'm starting to call saying the same thing to all of them. Our market has started to shift 2 months ago. We're leveling off, which means our pricing is not going up any longer, but it's no longer going down. And as I'm repeating this for every call, I'm noticing on Homebot, which I never noticed before, that you can send a video once a week for free. So I videotaped myself saying that. I gave it to my TC and I said, here, email this video to the 103, and for the other 900, keep doing 100 every week, which I found out you can't. You have to do it one big blast, but we're going to do that next week. I just have to wear something else so they don't think the 100 will get the same video. But duh, like if I can systematize something and give them another touch in that easier way, that was like huge for me.
It's great. And it's the reminder too, we cannot over communicate. Let's just be around so that when they need us, they'll call us. It's that simple. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this week and it's added some value to you. If you want to connect more, get inside the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group. These conversations we have come from questions that you ask in the group. And I've challenged every single one of you to go in and ask a question. And we're still waiting on some of you. So if you've been waiting, get inside Pivot Shift Ahead and ask a question. Then if you liked going deeper and really getting strategy and systems and tools around this, then join the Inspire Collective if you're not a member. That is our membership community. And we've got most of you are members, and yet some of you aren't. And we're waiting for you. We're ready for you. So it's time to get in the Inspire Collective so you can go even deeper on this stuff. And then let's connect on the socials at James D. Shaw. I'd love to see you there. Thanks for being here. You got your inspiration. Go put in the perspiration. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday. Bye, everybody.